be in prayer for wisdom, and God would help us in some avenues. Amen. We're thankful to have most of my voice back. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you, it's exciting to be able to say something again. Amen. Brother Ashton, would you help me pass this out again? Let's see who else I can get. Remember the Chad? Praise the Lord. Go ahead. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. Praise God. While everybody's getting their paper tonight, I want to just honor the Lord for his blessings. Amen. And answered prayers this week on several different things. And we're excited what God is doing. And the property next door, the Lord is helping us to acquire it back here. The 2 acres addition to our properties, a very valuable source because it has a water source. If I understand, there's 2 springs back there, and that's very valuable in the state of Texas. So we're excited about that. And the good thing about it is what we're getting it for and having to pay no closing costs. That's absorbed by the seller. And we're so thankful. And if you would like to give on that, we're going to be paying $14,000. And we're hoping not. We hope to just go ahead and pay for it. And if you want to give, I'm going to tell you, even if it's a $20 bill, it helps. And we're so thankful for the hard work of this church, those of you that are always giving. But this is your church. Amen. This is what you, in the years to come, I want to see this church when it comes to that place where you and I are gone, if God sees fit, that there would be a thriving church here. Amen. And God's not making property again. Amen. And we believe the Lord also to help us to sell. We talked to the banker about that as well. The properties in Central Heights. Do you know that the properties there are going up? Interest is going up there. And we're excited. And He told me, this is not the same banker that we dealt with years ago when we bought this place. But when I sat in his office and told him, he looked at me, he said, "Oh my, what a gold mine." And God's going to bless this church. And we look forward to that day that when you walk in this sanctuary, that this is going to be remodeled and fit for us like we desire it. When you pull on the parking lot, you're going to have a nice paved parking lot that's going to look a lot better, buildings that are better, and pew chairs that's going to be a lot comfortable. Amen. It's coming. Look at your neighbor and say, it's coming. Praise God. Anybody this week, God has blessed you with something you want to praise God for this week. Amen. Praise God. Sister Natalie, I'm so thankful what God's doing in your life, in your home. Amen. And just didn't Earl get a raise on his job too? Isn't that great? I believe God knows how to work on people, amen, that live for him and look to him. Amen. You know, sometimes we're human and we have all these different things. We say, but God, I'm not good. And the world tells you, you got to get good to get God. No, you just get God and God starts working on you. Amen. Anybody else, you have a testimony of what God's done for you this week? Something that you want to share with the congregation? Anybody else? Amen. Praise God. Well, we want to go to our lesson tonight. We're going to be talking about something that you'll notice that 2 Thursday nights ago, we taught on the cleansing of thoughts. Then we taught about the cleansing of speech. Tonight, we're going to talk about the cleansing of attitude. Actually, the lesson series that I have is seven different lessons that I want to present to the church about cleansing. You know as well as myself, when you start cleansing some things in your life, you're making room for the holiness of God to work. You start getting some things in tune, God starts working. And I want to tell you, when you get your attitude in tune, you may think your attitude is right, but when the Lord turns the light on and lets you see yourself, what a difference God will make when you let God be God. And have you ever seen somebody confidently, they get up and they really think they could, I mean, just sing or play an instrument, and I mean, they're no more in tune. I mean, they think everybody else is out of tune. And I mean, they get up there with confidence and they think everybody's out of tune. And it's them. And a lot of times the same thing with our attitudes. Our attitudes can be so out of tune with God and out of perspective that it costs us. God wants our spirits, amen, to be pleasing to Him. The Bible does speak, God weighs the spirit of man. You know what that means? The attitude of man. God weighs it and His balance and His ways. So as God examines our lives, He not only views our outward actions, He watches the attitude behind them. Tonight is not just what I do on the outside, but it's the inward thing there called our attitude or our spirit. Indeed, many times how somebody says something carries almost as much weight as what they actually say, the attitude behind it. And there's sometimes we try to say stuff and it gets out wrong, but you can feel the weight of an attitude behind something, can't you? I mean, it's easy to identify. And so tonight, God is deeply focused on the attitudes of our hearts. In a very real sense, everyone has an attitude or spirit about them. Tonight, we're just going to ask God to open the eyes of our heart and let us see our attitudes that we could balance them and give them to Him. Would you pray with me right now? Lord Jesus, I pray tonight that you'd open my heart. Help me to see my spirit, my attitude. Help me, Lord, to weigh it so carefully according to your spirit and your word and work on me with it. Tune my heart, Lord Jesus. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. The sins of attitude is what we want to work on cleansing. The first thing we're going to talk about is an attitude that reflects a lack of passionate love for Christ. In our scripture tonight, it speaks from Revelation, the third chapter, where the Lord said to the church at Laodicea, He said, I know your works, that there are neither cold nor hot. He said, I would that they were cold or hot. If you've never seen this, God said, I'd rather you be cold and I'd rather you be hot than not. I'd rather you be cold or hot, not lukewarm. Because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. It makes God sick when we are not right with Him. Our spirits are not right. It is clear here that God desires a fervent, passionate love from within, from His children. In fact, the attitude of lukewarmness literally nauseates God. That word spew out of my mouth means to vomit. So a spirit of indifference, a spirit that is not definite, makes God nauseated. I don't want God to be sick about me. I don't want to be something that gags God, but I want to please God. I want my spirit to please God. You know, I could fool my wife, but I can't fool God. I could fool my neighbor, but I can't fool God. And I could fool myself, but I'm not going to fool God. Somebody say amen. So tonight we are believing God to help us, and we got to understand that the root of all sin is a lack of fervent love and worship. And it's a lack of fervent love and the worship of self over God. When self is honored and esteemed, is a great word that we use, more than esteeming God and preferring God, we begin to become a loser. Isn't it crazy that self will fool you? and appetites, desires, passions, and feelings will fool you. We're going to ask some questions tonight that I pray that we could reflect on to help us to look at ourselves and judge ourselves according to the things of God. Let's ask ourselves these questions tonight. Can you truly categorize your love and service to God as passionate? Are you passionate? Do you need to adjust your passions for the things of God more? Is it slacking? Is it lacking? Do you need to work on your passion for God, your joy for God, your love for God? And it's like this. I want to come to the house of God. I want it to be my love. Amen. To worship God. But more than just coming to the house of God, I want to love living for God. I want it to be my chief passion that I love Him. Somebody say, help me, Jesus. And my next question, are you on fire for prayer? Are you on fire for prayer? Are you passionate about praying? Prayer is not saying a prayer. Praying is doing prayer. Now, I want to tell you, I know people that will vocalize and become audio for an hour and a half. I know people that pray five times a day. But hear me. It's not the length of prayer. It is the meaning of prayer. The doing of prayer. How heartfelt you open your heart and commune with God. Prayer is communicating to God. I want an attitude of prayer. How about you? I want a fervent love for prayer. Next question. Are you deeply excited about Bible study? Let me just stop here real quick. Sister Crosswhite and I, we're talking about it more and more. It's time to talk about Jesus. Our conversation, this time of the year, I enjoy going out camping. I enjoy going out hunting. I enjoy the weather change. I enjoy fall. It's probably my favorite year, time of the year. But I want my conversation, I want Jesus to be in my conversation. When I talk to people, more than just talking, I want Jesus to be the center. Today, I had the privilege of going to a business in town and giving them invitations to Friendsgiving. But every time I go there, my conversation with these gentlemen is about God Almighty. When I walked in the door, both of them looked at each other and said, wow. Every time we mention him, he shows up. It's been a while since I've been there. This morning they had mentioned, and we got to talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and about the power of the Lord and how amazing in just a moment of time. In fact, right before I left, I asked those men to pray for me. And I want you to know that while they prayed for me, I felt the Spirit of the Almighty God touch me. Now, just this week, Brother Zach and Isaac and I had the privilege, the young man that is dealing with our property at the bank, I talked to him. He's a 30-year-old single man. He's served time in the Navy. He's been to SFA, graduated, and he's new at our bank, commercial bank. So I was talking to him on the phone, and it just a kind young man. And all of a sudden, I felt something trigger inside of me. Said, hey, see, when is his lunch? I said, hey, what are you doing for lunch today? Well, he said, you know, I'm a single man. He said, I bring sandwiches right now, you know, budget. And I said, would you like to go eat with us today? He said, sure. I said, what would you prefer? He said, well, he said, just anything. He said, you know, I'm okay with getting a sandwich somewhere. And I said, have you ever been to CC Smokehouse? He said, no, sir. I said, I want to buy you your meal at CC Smokehouse today. We went there, and at the restaurant, immediately walking in, people was, hey, Brother Crosswhite, you know, all around me. He looked at me and he said, everybody knows you. And we sat down to eat, and we started talking about the Lord, about God in our lives, and about the difference. This young man was so enthused. He told me, he said, you know, he said, before I went to the Navy and before I went to college, he said, I wanted to work at a certain youth camp. And he said, I tried, and he said, back in those days, I was too young, inexperienced. And he said, it was my desire to be part in helping people. And he said, I attend a church here in town. And he said, but it's still my desire to help. And I looked at him, I said, well, I'm glad to hear that. I said, Brother Zach and I were able to talk to him about different things that are going on in the church, about what we're doing for us in outreach. I want to tell you, when you put God in the middle, people start feeling something. There's more than just, oh, what I'm doing in life, how well successful I am. No. I'm thankful to be able to testify that my God's been good to me. Amen. God must be the center of your life. Let me ask you tonight, is he the center of your conversation? Are you excited about witnessing, serving God? Man, was there a time when you served God more fervently than now? Was there a time that your commitment was greater for the things of God and you slacked off? Well, friend, only you can answer that question. I believe God wants to give revival to us. Revival is not somebody walking through the door and coming to the altar, but it's when the church, you, get back to that place where you need to be with God Almighty and get that steam back inside of your engine and say, God, you're number one in my life, and love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might, and all thy body. Somebody say amen. Action. What happens when we lack passionate love for Christ? If you sense this lukewarmness, first thing, let there be honest confession. You've heard me talk about it the last three times if you've been in service. Confession. Everybody talks about confession as just being, I done it. And they leave it at there. They admit, I done it, but we need to admit, God, I need help with it. It's more than, God, get the smudge off of me. Wash my face. Get the dirt off of me. But honest confession is this. God, I admit, I desperately need you in my life. I am empty of the ability to be an overcomer. I need you. We admit and we submit ourselves. And then we commit ourselves. Repentance without commitment is not repentance. When you commit yourself to God and you turn to God, you're doing more than saying, God, do your part. Take my sins away. But you're making a vow to the Almighty God saying, God, here am I. Here am I. I give myself. Amen. We need that in our life. We need that commitment to the Lord. Only the Spirit can grant you a heart that burns with pure burning love for him. You pray in faith to God to give you that heart that would burn with a passion for him. If you're sincere, the scripture says he will forgive you and give you a brand new heart. Are you thankful that God has a brand new heart waiting on you? Praise God. The next attitude that we need to cleanse is the attitude of pride. 1 Peter 5:5 is written on your notes, but can I get a reader? Somebody just read off your notes, be fine. It's on the board right here, so. He resists the proud, but giveth grace to who? The humble. He resists the proud. The next scripture, Psalms 51:17. Another reader. A broken and contrite. What does contrite mean? Anybody could help me. Contrite. Sister Kristen, what is contrite? Look it up. That's it. Humbled, submitted, realized that, God, I can't make it without you. Contrition. God, I'm sorry. I'm empty. I'm broken. I'm helpless without you. That's contrition, a contrite heart. A broken and contrite heart God will not despise. You know, pride is a subtle sin that's so easily, it's so easily overlooked. Perhaps the worst form of pride is that attitude of spiritual complacency that sees little need for cleansing, little need for growing in one's own life. But hear me, true revival, somebody said revival, always begin humbly and with brokenness over sin. Anybody knows what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says? Somebody read that off that board tonight. Brother Colton, read that for me.
My people, which are called by my name, uh-huh, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wickedness, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will forgive their sin.
God has a promise for us tonight. But you got to fall in the qualifications, obeying some stipulations here. If my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Was the first stipulation? First, called by my name, shall humble themselves and what? Next one? Not his hand, but his face. And what's the next one? Then what happened? Somebody finish it. Then will I hear from heaven. And we need all three of the things right there. Amen. I want you to pray with me right now. Just bow your head and ask God, Lord, would you do that? Would you heal our land? Would you forgive our sins and help us to hear from you? God, we don't want to, God, be so messed up. Let us hear your voice. Let us know your will. God, I pray. We give you thanks and we give you praise tonight, God, for being mindful of our needs, God, as we turn to you. In Jesus' name. I want the Lord to have liberty tonight to work in our hearts and do what he desires. Amen. Take action. Somebody say, take action. Let's go forward. Some questions tonight. Do you think yourself quite spiritual? How do you see yourself? Do you look at yourself being, oh, I'm spiritual? Do you often criticize and judge other people? You can answer these things. Do you spend daily time allowing God to search your heart? Or do you feel that I don't have much to be cleansed of? Are you truly broken and contrite over your shortcomings? Or do you think, oh, well, no one is really perfect? Are you desperately hungry to see a mighty move of God? Or are you somewhat complacent? Do you come across as having a holier-than-thou attitude? I can't answer those questions, but you can. This is a deal that I've learned years ago. The closer I get to God, the more vulnerable I am at seeing that I need him. And the more I humble myself. He said, if you humble yourself in due time, he will lift you up. The greater man that walks in the Spirit is a man that learns how to humble himself. A person that is to the place where they think they have arrived, and you see this with preachers. I'm going to tell off on preachers. I am one. Success is a worse thing for preachers. When they start feeling successful, entitled, something starts happening. They are losing touch with God. My wife listened to a podcast of Sister Hodges, used to be Sister Bean. And in that podcast, Sister Bean talked about Brother Bean, how they would go to a church and pray. And the group of people would come together and pray and get their souls right. They would meet at 10 o'clock in prayer, the church would, and meet with that evangelist, and they would cry out to God in prayer. And God did mighty miracles. If my people, which are called by his name, shall humble themselves, seek his face, turn from their wicked ways, pray, God would give his action. So today, in reading this and looking at this, it's time to believe God for a genuine spirit of humility and contrition, of heart, ask God for power to identify and resist the deceptive attitude. I don't want pride to ruin me. Pride that, oh, God's not going to do anything to me. A man that feels like I'm exempt. A person that feels I'm okay. You're in for it. I hate to watch somebody learn their lesson. Come on. Amen. Thin ice would get you in trouble. Somebody say amen. The next spirit or attitude is that self first, where Philippians 4, 2, 3, and 4. Somebody read it for me. Olivia, can you read it? All right. In Psalms 51:17 again. Gloriana, can you read that one? It's one on the board. Broken. Psalm 51:17. I want you to realize tonight, God loves it when we get to that place and saying, God, I need you. Do you tend to draw attention to yourself? Do you promote yourself and put others down? Are you highly competitive and desire to be number one at all costs? You ever seen somebody that way? Do you seek to be the center of attention? Do you usually think most in terms of your own need and desires? Is your attitude such that you feel you're better and smarter than others? Do you have an inordinate need to be noticed and praised by people? Do you tend to surround yourself with status symbols that flaunt wealth or appearance, or you feel like you've got to have this to make you feel up here? Think about it. You ever seen somebody that fit that category? Examine yourself. God, is there something in my attitude that I'm more looking at my own needs versus the needs of other people? Hear me. Me first is not where it's supposed to be. It ought to be the Lord is one in your life and number one to you. Prefer your brother more than yourself. We're living an hour today. It's all about me. Look what I've done. Look what I do. No, it should be, look what the Lord's done. And if he's done it for me, he'll do it for you. Amen. So in our action, God hates. Everybody say, God hates. All forms of arrogance and self-exaltation. And if you sense God's conviction, immediately confess and forsake this sin. Be specific. Write them down, the changes you want God to embrace in your life. And this is where you have to say, God, I've been having problems all my life with this. O King Self has ruined me. O King Me has got me in trouble. I need you, Lord Jesus. I want to tell you today, when that attitude of self being number one rules somebody, it ruins them. I want the glory of the Lord. How about you? The next spirit or attitude that we've got to get rid of is unbelief. Hebrews 11:6. Sister Riley, can you read that one for us? God is a rewarder of the who? Somebody finish it. Them that diligently seek him. Unbelief is one of the most deadly sins, church, that a believer can commit. It was unbelief that caused the children of Israel to die in the wilderness. Unbelief immediately short circuits God's power in a believer's life. And because of unbelief, many believers live in weakness and defeat. Through lack of faith, crucial prayers go unanswered. The spirit of unbelief, where somebody would not be willing to let God help them. Let's ask some questions here to reflect. Are you often filled with more doubt than faith? Is your faith doubling? Do you tend to worry and fret rather than trust God? Are you fully resisting? Are you fully resting in God's promises? Boy, I like all my typos. And are you frequently anxious? Have you excused the sin of unbelief by claiming to be a born worrier? Do you excuse your doubt by saying, I have good reason to worry? Have you let disappointments weaken your faith and your prayer life? If you are a worrier about everything instead of trusting God, it's called the sin of unbelief. Hey, if God takes care of the sparrow, don't you know he's going to take care of you? How many has a mighty God tonight that still answers prayers? Amen. We're not going to fret tonight, but we're going to hold to his unchanging hand. We're going to believe God for what his word says. There's some things that your worrying can never help. Oh, there's something to be careful, have care and mindfulness. But where worry starts eating your lunch to where it causes you to fret, it causes somebody not to trust God, you're in trouble. It's a sin. Let's take action tonight. What's some actions? A pattern of worry is not just a weakness, but it's a willful sin against God. When you worry, it's willful sin. God promises perfect peace for those who would choose to trust rather than fear. Not rust, but trust. Do you need to confess the sin of unbelief and worry tonight? No matter how long you doubt it, God can give you true faith and a supernatural peace. And we don't need to settle for just anything. How many have some problems in your life right now that you need God to take care of? You got some situations you need God to answer. Amen. Friend, let's not fret. Let's believe God when we pray. Amen. And trust God that God hears and God's God enough to answer. God don't answer. He's not my genie in a bottle. Just when I begin to beg him. But God wants me to operate and pray by faith. God wants me to believe when things are not happening. God don't have to answer my prayer. He's still God when God doesn't answer my prayer. Look at your neighbor and say, God's got this. Amen. He's the master of every situation. Right. Yes. Says Crossway, is exactly right. That pattern. If you find yourself in a rut or pattern of worry, examine yourself. Okay? Our next one that we want to talk about tonight that we have to cleanse is a critical spirit. Ephesians 4:2. All right, Brother Brian Pirtle. Hey, the primary mark of a spirit-filled believer is a kind, loving spirit. The primary mark of a carnal believer is a critical, angry attitude, loud, pushy attitude that demands its own way. Think with me. There's people that have that spirit to where they're always critical. That's a mark of a carnal person. And a carnal mind is enmity against God, the scripture says. Let's ask questions tonight. Do you have a gentle, kind spirit? Or you're the argumentative and contentious person? Are you often critical and harsh with people? Are you often insensitive to the feelings and needs of other people? Do you tend to look for reasons to pick people apart? Are you quick to get angry and speak your mind? Do you make excuses by saying, I can't help it, it's just my personality? I hear that all the time. Well, you're just going to have to accept it. That's just the way I am. No. We need to be like he is. Be honest. Evaluate your heart's attitude. Ask God for his cleansing and forgiveness and his help. Be specific about the different ways to change your attitude with your family, with other people. I've always heard this thing, if you keep being sharp, you're going to get flat. I don't want to be so sharp in my spirit, even with my family, even on a bad day. I want to learn to be gentle. I want my spirit to be right with God. Somebody say amen? Any comment right here? All right. The next thing we're going to talk about. The attitude, lack of patience and forgiveness. 1 Corinthians 13:49. All right. Brother Josh. Praise God. I'm thankful what love is really all about. Some questions here. Do you respond with forgiveness and love when someone hurts you? How many of you have been hurt by somebody? What is your response? Many times we want to bow up, we want to get mad, we want to get aggravated. But think about it. It's amazing when you have to ask yourself, God, help me to respond and not react. Next question. Do you make a point of actively doing good to those who have done you evil? That's what the Lord teaches us. Are you carrying an eternal catalog of grievances? You ever seen somebody that had a catalog of grievances? They'll pull it out and start saying, this is this and this and this and this. Well, if the Lord forgave you, you need to learn how to forgive somebody else. Somebody say amen. Do you brood on ways a spouse or a child has disappointed you? Hey, we got to let some things go, don't we? Do you withhold your kindness because they don't deserve it? Do you give the silent treatment? I want you to think about this tonight. This is not in your notes. A forgiving attitude is a primary mark of somebody right with God. It's too common for people today to be so highly religious, but yet possess a judgmental, unloving spirit. I want to tell you, Pharisees come in all shapes, varieties, and sizes. And through lack of love, lack of really forgiveness, we could build barriers in our relationships, in our home, in our church, around our lives. Though we may say we forgive, many people really don't. I want to be a forgiver. How about you? You see, the word forgive has the word give in it. Amen. So the action tonight, during these times where you feel that pressure to hold a grudge, your mind brings up something that you just can't let go. Won't you confess that need to God and say, God, I need help. I need you right here. I need to cleanse this. I need a change of heart. Even when somebody's made you so mad, forgive them. What did Jesus say? 7 times? Yes. That's a lot of forgiveness in it. I'm thankful God's still forgiving me. How about you? Amen. Understand his love for you in spite of you, in spite of all what you've done. Seek for his unconditional love and get a hold of his unchanging hand. I want my spirit to be right with God. How about you? I want my spirit to be right with other people. I want my spirit to go beyond, amen, where people could see Jesus in my life. What good is a lighthouse that doesn't let its light shine? A candle on a bushel is no good. I want to let it shine for Jesus Christ. Amen. Any comment tonight? Anybody wants to just something you want to comment on?
Anybody else? What do you want to share with Robbie? Respond is better than reaction. Sister Natalie? Exactly. The up the road we have an ambulance service. It's emergency reaction center. No. Emergency response center. Difference between response and react. You take it careful, you're prepared, you're going to be careful about how